Lord, isn't it? That Jesus paid it all. Not just 99%, but he paid it all. All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 4 now. Revelation chapter 4. And I'll read the chapter for us. Revelation chapter 4. We'll get a little insight into heaven here in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, and I read for us starting in verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honour and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth for ever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, as we read this passage, Lord, this morning, that, Lord, we can see a little bit more clearly, perhaps, about why we're here on planet Earth. Lord, to bring pleasure to you. And we trust this morning that all we've done and will do will indeed bring pleasure to you. And Lord, that we would honour you and give you all the praise and all the glory. And Father, I pray, just as we look into your word now, that you would bless these thoughts to our hearts. May it be, Lord, that your will be accomplished, we pray, in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the question is this morning, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? Now, it's going to be one of two places, either heaven or hell. I think we would agree about that, biblically speaking. So I want to look first of all, just briefly, at some thoughts about heaven, and then also look at some thoughts about hell, because they're the two places that lie out there in eternity for us. And so when it comes to heaven, there's obviously the Bible has a lot to say about that, but I want to look at some of those thoughts this morning. So let's have a look first of all at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. This verse I find very encouraging. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. I don't know about you, but I find that verse very encouraging. Because I say to my wife, I probably drive her crazy at times. why this and why that, and why do they do that, and why don't they do that, and why this and why that. And I've learned that, you know, some things you just don't have answers for. That's okay, I can live with that. But I'm looking forward to the day when Paul says, now I know in part. We don't know everything now. We're not God. But he says there's coming a day that then shall I know. All these questions, I believe, will be answered one day. It'll all make sense one day. But right now, we're like, I've used the illustration before, we're like the little boy who's watching a circus go through the street, and there's a big high fence with just a little knot hole in it, and he's down there looking through that knot hole, and he says, hey, Dad, look, I can see a clown, and oh, I can see a lion there in a cage, and all that kind of stuff. But his dad was up a lot higher, and his dad could see the very beginning and the very end of the whole circus as it paraded past. It's a little bit like God. You know, we're the little boy looking through the knot hole of life, and we go, why this and this, why that? But God's sitting up above it all, amen. He can see the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I can see it all. And that sometimes, I don't know about you, but it can be very frustrating. Why this? And why did this happen? Why did God allow that? And what about this? And what about something else? Forget it. Just be prepared to accept that some things we'll never know all the answers for. Now we know in what? In part. We know what we need to know. Be encouraged with that thought. God tells us what we need to know. Amen? So what more do we want? But we want to know about this, and we want to know about that. We're busybodies, you know. We like to know about this and about that, and how come this, and how. Forget about it. Now I know in part, but then shall I know. That'll be one of the blessings of heaven, amen. We'll get up there. You know, when I got saved, or before I got saved, I had a lot of questions. What about this, and what about that, and I remember we'd been to church once, and a couple of the men visited us, and I had all the questions, you know. So you say that you have to trust Jesus, and then, you know, you get saved and you go to heaven one day. Yeah, yeah. I said, well, what about the little black fella out in the middle of Africa? He's never heard of it. You say he's going to go to hell, and he's never heard of it. Come on. That was me before I got saved. The interesting thing, when I got saved, I had a lot of questions before, but after, they kind of just seemed to disperse. They didn't seem to be there anymore. I don't know what happened. Just some of those questions went. Now that I've been saved, I've got a whole new list of questions. I said to my wife, I said, I could write a list as long as this arm, as long as this arm, as long as that leg, and as long as that, and some more about why this, and why are they so stupid, and why do they do this, and why that. But I'm encouraged to know that I know what I need to know. And now I know in part, but then shall I know. How good's that? How good is God? He's not going to leave us out there in eternity scratching our head, what about this and what about that? You know? No, no, no. We'll know. We'll stop being that little boy looking through the knot hole, and we'll see the big picture at last. Amen? That'll be a blessing of heaven. If there's no other blessing, to me that'll be a good one. But there are many other blessings, aren't there? You think about it. Have a look in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and in particular, he's talking here about what we call the rapture in verse 51 and how we'll all be changed. But I want to just make note particularly of this in verse 53. He says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. When we get to be with the Lord in heaven, there'll be no more corruptible bodies, amen? I don't know about you, but that's going to be a blessing. You know, when you're young, you think you're strong and invincible, and, you know, you can conquer everything. You get a little bit older, and all of a sudden, there's a bit of an ache here and a pain there and some sickness here and some disease there and something or other else happens, and you bend over and you can't get back up again because your back's gone, whatever it is. It's corruptible, isn't it? But thank God, when we get to be with the Lord, we're going to finish up one day with an incorruptible body. It'll be a body like the Lord Jesus' resurrected body. How good will that be? And not only that, he says we'll be immortal. I never have to face death. Never have to face it. Because it's all in the past now. It's all taken care of. Now I have eternal life and I'm in the presence of God. How good's that? And, you know, you talk to people, and I've spoken to a lot of people over the years, and many of them say, oh, death doesn't bother me. You know, they're lying. They're lying. Because when people stop and really think about death, if they're not saved, they have to admit it's a pretty fearful thing that we face, death. The unknown. If you're not saved, it's unknown. Where are we going to go? You know, you talk to people. Well, you know, you don't go anywhere. You just, you know, you go in the ground. That's what I used to say. It's not very satisfying, though, when you just go in the ground. There's nothing afterwards. You know, again, we're talking to prison. Well, you know, what happens when you die? I think you just go to sleep. No. You don't just go to sleep. No. So that great day will be when there's no more death. But we don't have to fear that. We don't have to face that. We don't have to worry about when I die and how am I going to die, and I hope it's not painful, and all the things that go and every other thought that's out there about death. It's all done. Amen. It's all gone. That'll be a blessing. Come back to Revelation 21. Again, I love this verse as well. Revelation 21. And verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more tears. You know, tears can be a good thing. Tears can be a good thing. They're not all bad. One of the problems the old Aussie has, you know, tough, sunbronzed Anzac, you know, men shouldn't cry. That's a terrible thing to cry. How could you do that? Well, you go against how God's created us if you don't cry. You know, but there'll be no more tears. No more tears. God's going to take away all that. Whether they be tears of joy or whether they be tears of grief, they'll be gone. No more. We've already touched no more death and no more sorrow. Imagine that. No more sorrow. Never again are we going to be sorrowful. Whether for whatever reason, we're sorrowful because someone's died. We're sorrowful because someone's offended us. We're sorrowful because of the sins we've done and we know we shouldn't have done it. All that will be gone. No more sorrow. How good's that? I mean, serious, when you think about these things, these are wonderful truths. No more crying. Won't be crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Neither shall there be any more pain. Oh my, no more toothaches. No more pain. Amazing. No more pain. Sometimes it's just painful to get out of bed, isn't it? You know, you get out. I don't know about you, but sometimes, I've got cramp in my leg. It's painful. No more. No more pain. Oh my. No more pain. No more. We're talking, but there'll be no more emotional pain either. That'll be good. It's good to be no physical pain, but there'll be no more emotional pain either. That's a whole new level, isn't it? No more pain. No more pain as you watch someone who says they're saved and they're living in sin and their life's a mess and it just grieves you. They'll be gone. That'll be gone. Oh my. Why? For the former things have passed away. They're done with. Finished. No more. How did that happen? Jesus paid it all so that we can be in such a place. Many blessings that we can enjoy in heaven one day. The Bible talks about in 1 John how we shall see him, we shall be like him. We're going to be like him. I mean, the Lord Jesus was sinless and perfect in every way, and we shall be like him throughout eternity. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be wonderful. You think about that. You know, not only that, there'll be rewards for those who have been faithful in this life. First Corinthians 3 talks about the judgment seat of Christ, and every believer will stand before that judgment seat of Christ. And God will determine whether we're worthy of rewards or not, whether it's gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble. And Paul said, if any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, the foundation is Christ, and then he shall receive a reward. There is the other side. If any man's work is burned, he shall be saved, yet so as by fire, but no rewards. It's all gone. So I could say, you could say, well, that's a bit of a downside of heaven. Well, if you want to put it that way, the best thing not to worry about is live for the Lord now, amen. Be serious about living for God now, so that all you're doing is building gold, silver, precious stone. You don't have to worry about the wood, hay, stubble, there's none of it. Be faithful and live for the Lord. There'll be crowns, a crown of rejoicing. That's going to be a wonderful crown. You know, one day where the Lord says, you know, you've been a faithful witness for me. I want to show you, here's some people that I used you to win to myself. You see, we don't save anybody. We can be a witness for the Lord, and that's what we're supposed to be. And there'll be people, I believe, that will go up there one day and we'll hear about it, and you go, Lord says, now see that person there? You spoke to them one day, and you kind of forgot you'd ever spoken to them. But what you said was what I call now linking the chain. And God used what you said at that point. You didn't see him saved, but here they are in heaven. You did what you can do. You sowed. Remember, Paul said, I sowed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I think it's going to be fascinating to be in heaven and to see all of that take place, and by God's grace to get a crown of rejoicing. And it won't be, look how great I was. No, it'll say, look how amazing God was. Look at God's grace. How amazing was it? You know, we sing of it. And I believe that'll apply, for example, to missionaries that we pray for and support. They're out there winning people to the Lord. But we're a part of that if we're praying for them, if we're giving towards what they're doing there. There'll be a crown of rejoicing. There's other crowns there that the Bible speaks about that will be handed out on that great day when we stand there before the Lord Jesus. Many, many blessings in heaven. Many, many things. Come back to Revelation 4 again. Revelation chapter 4. In verse 6, the Bible says there again, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. You know, that verse reminds me of the book of Ezekiel. Remember Ezekiel, what he saw in his day? It also reminds us about the four Gospels, because the first beast was like a lion, that speaks of a king. The second was like a calf, which speaks of a servant. And the third one, a face like a man, which is what it speaks of. And the fourth one, like a flying eagle. And when you look at the Gospels, you have Matthew speaks of the king. And you have Mark that speaks of the servant. And you have Luke that speaks of the man. And you have John that speaks of the God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. They rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honour and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, one of the blessings of heaven, we'll be able to get down there before the throne and praise the Lord and worship the Lord in all purity there. there'll be no add-on or takeaways. We'll be able to join that throng in heaven and bow before the throne and say, Father, thou art worthy to receive glory and honour and power. Oh my, what a blessing that'll be. What a blessing. Even in chapter 5, we'll be able to join the chorus there, won't we? Verse 11, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb for ever and ever. What a day that'll be, amen. To gather around the throne, and the Lord Jesus on the right hand of the Father, and we'll be able to join that wonderful chorus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Oh my. It's going to be wonderful, don't you think? I think it will be. I trust that you're looking forward to that and anticipating that, because that's what's going to happen one day. If you're saved, then you're going to join that heavenly chorus and be singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. But sadly, there's the other option that people are going to go to hell one day who don't trust Christ as their Saviour. And you have a look at some of those things. You have a look in Jude, just back from Revelation, Jude. See what Jude says here in Jude verse 13. And here's what it says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Imagine that. That's a description of an aspect of hell, the blackness of darkness. You see, hell is the exact opposite to heaven. Heaven is a place of light because the Lord Jesus, who is the light, shines constantly. Hell is the exact opposite. It's a place, as Jude puts it here, the blackness of darkness. You know what it's like when there's a power failure and all the lights go out and you, whoa, 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 whoa. That's just a very, very small taste of what it will be forever for those who go to hell. The blackness of darkness forever. It's a shocking thought, isn't it? Shocking thought. But that's not all, is it? You have a look in Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. In verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There'll be sorrow and pain forever. What does it say about those in heaven? No more pain, no more sorrow. You see, hell's exactly the opposite to heaven, which is what you'd expect, wouldn't you? There will be sorrow. There will be pain, and it will be ongoing. Notice also he talks there about a furnace of fire. We'll have a look in Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Revelation's a wonderful book. It's very challenging in some ways, but it's a wonderful book and tells us a lot about what's going on down the track. Verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And speaking of the time of the Lord Jesus' second coming, when he's going to come and establish his kingdom on earth and he'll rule for 1,000 years. And at his coming we find the beast, that's the Antichrist, the world political leader, and those all part of his armies. They'll gather themselves to make war against him that sat on the horse. That's the Lord Jesus. And notice what it says, verse 20. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Been cast into a lake of fire. This political and religious leader will be cast alive, notice what it says, into a lake of fire. You say, well, they'll just get burnt up and that'll be the end of them because, you know, you get burnt up. No, have a look in Revelation 20. And for 1,000 years, the Bible says there that Satan will be bound in a bottomless pit. And at the end of that time, notice verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. It's amazing to me, I don't know about you, but when I read those passages, I think, what's going on here? For 1,000 years, Satan has been bound. The Lord Jesus has ruled on earth for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. Righteousness has prevailed. And yet, given one small chance, there's a whole group of people rise up against God. It's amazing to me. Why would they? Well, we'll get that answer, I guess, when we know all things. But notice what happens. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Notice what it says next, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, 1,000 years earlier, the Lord Jesus had put the false prophet and the Antichrist in the lake of fire. 1,000 years later, they're still there. They're still suffering. They're still in torment. They shall be tormented for how long? Day and night forever and ever. For those who say, well, you know, even if there is a hell, you just go get burned up. No, 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 no. No, that's not the case. That's as hideous as the thought is. That's not the case. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And there'll be no opportunity to say, can I just put up my hand now? I need to do something to get it right. Too late. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, and the wrath of God abides on him. That's the simplicity of it. That's what the Bible teaches us. And so it comes back to my first question, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? Heaven or hell? They're the only options that are available to us. How do we get to heaven? By repenting of our sin, turning to God and believing the Lord Jesus died on the cross and was buried and raised physically and bodily, and by faith asking God to forgive us our sins and to make us one of his children. That way we get saved and we're now set for heaven one day. But if we never come to that point of true repentance and faith, then the only thing left is a lake of fire, a place of outer darkness, a place of eternal torment. I trust this morning that you and I can say, I know heaven's waiting for me one day. Heaven's waiting for me one day. I want to read a couple of stories about Christians who've gone on before us. One was a man called D.L. Moody, and he was a preacher that was greatly used of the Lord back in his day. And here's what it was said of him. On December 21st, 1899, D.L. Moody awoke from sleep early in the morning and began to speak. He said, "Earth recedes, heaven opens before me." His son was at his bedside and thought he was dreaming and attempted to rouse him. "No, this is no dream, Will," Mr. Moody replied. "It's beautiful. It's like a trance. If this is death, it's sweet. There's no valley here. God is calling me and I must go." Mr. Moody continued to talk as if from another world. He said, "Then it seemed as though he saw beyond the veil. For he exclaimed, 'This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. I've been looking forward to it for years.' And then his face lit up. And he said in a voice of joyful rapture, 'Dwight, Irene, I see the children's faces. And he was referring to the two little grandchildren that God had taken from his life in the past year. And moments later, Moody was gone. He had entered heaven. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? It's another one about Frances Havergal Ridley, and she was a wonderful songwriter and all that kind of thing. Frances Havergal wrote such beautiful hymns as Like a River Glorious and Take My Life and Let It Be. But Frances did not enjoy good health. She was only 43 when she faced departure from this world. But her attitude was amazing. She said, if I'm going, it's too good to be true, she exclaimed to her loved ones. She smiled and said, splendid to be so near the gates of heaven. I'm lost in amazement. There's not failed one word of all his good promises. Shortly afterward, Frances looked up steadfastly as if seeing the Lord. For 10 minutes we watched that almost visible meeting with her king, wrote Maria. And her countenance was so glad, as if you're already talking to him. Then she tried to sing, but after one sweet high note, her voice failed, and her brother commended her soul into the Redeemer's hand. She passed away. How good's that? Amen. That's the wonderful, wonderful thing that we can anticipate as a believer. Amen. When we get to the end of this journey, there's a place called heaven waiting for us. There's a Saviour called the Lord Jesus Christ who's going to welcome us. Remember Stephen, as he's about to die, he looks up into heaven and he sees the Lord Jesus. And what was the Lord? He was standing. He was waiting for him to come. He was going to welcome him. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I trust this morning you can answer the question very clearly. I'm happy I've settled the matter of eternity. If I was to die today, I know where I'd be going. I'd be in the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and bless you once again for this time. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we're thankful that we have time to look at this, to get out of this world and the world's thinking and to see the truth about eternity. And Lord, we're thankful that there is a place called heaven for those who trust the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. As old Wesley used to say, the best is yet to come. But for those who haven't, it's a tragedy beyond words that they'll be forever separated from God, forever in that place is called hell. Father, you know our hearts this morning. I trust and pray that, Lord, if there's anybody here who couldn't answer with a very definite, I know where I'm going to spend eternity, Lord, I pray you'd have mercy on them. I pray, Lord, that you would bring them to that place today, that they would settle this question of where they'll spend eternity. Bring them to that place, Lord, of repentance and faith, believing that the Lord Jesus died and paid the price for their sins and was buried and raised from the dead that third day, that they might be saved. And then, Lord, for God's people, we might, Lord, be encouraged once again about what lies ahead. All these things we don't know about now, we shall know. But then, Lord, also remember the responsibility we have to share our hope with those out there who know not the Saviour. And Father, we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our